To order, so.
Yeah, but I want them to come.
Today is November 30th, 2022. It's 5:04 PM and this is the American Rescue Plan Act Special Committee meeting. Welcome everybody. I hope you all had a lovely Thanksgiving holiday and we are, as I just said, we're gonna probably go through this meeting fairly quickly. There's not a lot on our agenda. Could you please call the roll?
Yes. Peter Criswell.
Here.
Thomas Corcoran is not with us. Aaron Levine.
Here.
Craig Lopez is not with us. Megan Speary.
Here.
You have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you so
much.
Oh,
and Tracy Bartel.
Here.
Hello, thank Chair. Nice to see you.
Not permanently not with us, but
we have a guest.
Just temporarily.
Guest today,
but not with
so. Thank you. And just to take care of some business, if we would like to approve the minutes of the October 26th meeting, do I have a motion?
Motion to approve the minutes.
And a second, please.
A second to approve the minutes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Great. There we go. Alrighty. So, the first thing we're going to talk about tonight is the remaining funds. So, I think you all have a copy of the financial tracker. So you can see that there's a little bit of attrition from the ARPA admin actuals to the tune of $92,000. And then there's that lovely $3 that we saved on the actual expenses from Elizabeth Street. So, but as Fawn said, every dollar counts. So we're counting it. So that brings our current allocations to $30,002,268. And we have $4,489,206 left out of that. There are two proposed allocations. One is the $2 million for the agricultural crisis relief, and there's $1 million on the table for the ARPA sewer and water. So that's where we're at right now with funds. Do you have Chair Bartels?
I was just going to ask, and I don't know if it's somewhere, is there a way in this tracker to have another line that shows what's actually, like this is what's been allocated,
mm-hmm.
right? But to show what's been expended thus far?
You know what, we were tracking that and it got a little confusing. But we can add that in. I think we were planning on doing that kind of like on a quarterly basis.
Okay.
And so we should actually probably do it. We didn't do it for year's end, but that would be a good thing for us for next meeting to actually see where we're at. Remember Comptroller Gallagher, we were doing that at the beginning?
I looked it up today. It's around 2.2 million, but let me pull up the report again. I can give
that,
you
that'd be great.
Yeah, we also have our, the last one still needs to be uploaded to the website. We have our ARC reports on the website for Ulster County ARC.
Can I just ask about, when you say it's 2.2 million, you're saying we've expended 2.2 million?
Yes.
So I guess what would be helpful, you know, to see is that line against this project. And for example, you know, let's use the navigation, you know, services, navigation. Services navigation. We know that those positions weren't hired at the start of the year, so we're going to see pretty quickly on a line like that. This committee would look at that line and say that extra, that money that's not been expended,
yep.
is available.
Right.
Versus on another line where only X amount's been expended, you might look at the line and say, okay, it's only X has been expended because we haven't
yep.
finished administering the
so
program.
So really, it's a budget to actual.
So yeah,
what we're asking for in a way, is that something that can be added to this tracker?
So I've done it. And I'm forgive me if everybody's copy of the tracker progress tracker is small, but on the first page, the cover page of the tracker, there's the expended for administrative for 2022 COVID pay, CSN, and PODS. And I can read that out if people want.
Can you just, where are you? Because I'm.
So it looks like this. I know this is tiny, but
okay.
It's the cover page. There's three sheets to the progress tracker.
Okay, I think I'm looking at a different sheet.
And this one's called the progress tracker cover page.
Yeah.
Updated as of November 21st, 2022.
Okay, that's great.
And so the first, it's kind of in a separately defined series of boxes, but they're underneath project names, the first four rows that are not grayed out are administrative, COVID pay, CSN, and pods. And if you go, if you follow that, those rows all the way over to the right where it says notes,
yeah.
I wanted to keep, that's kind of, here you go.
That's, no, this is exactly what I'm thinking.
So you'll, I did make a note of, that's been expended for a while, and those are in a different box because essentially, I mean, that administrative, of course, is, you know, year over year, but COVID pay, CSN, pods, I don't see those as continuing projects currently. But I did, in the notes, put the expended, which has been reported to U.S. Treasury.
Okay.
And then, if you don't mind, if I can continue, Chair. So, I broke the progress tracker, which is essentially the, there's 18 established allocated projects at this point. And I broke them up into two different sheets. But essentially at the bottom of each one, like the first one that will have, you'll see two boxes at the bottom of each project, and there is a box for amount obligated and there's a box for amount expended, and that will go off of U.S. Treasury reports. Our next one will be the end of January. So if you look at Crisis Stabilization Center and you go down to the bottom, we have 200,000, and this is as of the last report, so it's a little out of date, but amount obligated is 200,000, amount expended is 2 million. Let me think. Yeah, 2 million. So, you know, I got.
That's not what New World says, but.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just wondering if I did that backwards because we have had the. I may have updated this because we did close on that property, so 368 Broadway. So, we have expended. Oh, I know why it's like that, because amount obligated is for the A&E. So architect and engineering, which is an assigned contract, and then amount expended is for 368 Broadway, which is the purchase price of that property, right? So then you can go across to Elizabeth Manor, and you have the amount obligated, 700,000, and you have the amount expended of 699,997. And I believe that's it.
Is this what you're looking for, Chair Bartels?
It, largely speaking, yes.
Is
I mean,
there something
I think,
else that would help make it clear?
I think the one other thing to add, just as constructive criticism, if we go back to the progress tracker cover page.
Yep.
Because we're scrolling on computers at the, you know, where you go to the notes of expended, I would put a line of balance. Like I could do the math of the expended and scroll back to the approved. You know what I mean? But
okay.
I think if you just put the balance of approved as a last line past, you know, expended, or
yeah, that makes sense.
That would be helpful, just so I see it in
yep.
one place, and then we could also be capturing what's left. It's very helpful to have the no and the yes in terms of the project complete. This is very thorough. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, and this will.
I just
this
pulled
will
up the other page, so I
yeah.
was looking at the head page, but this is exactly what I'm looking
yeah,
for.
Yeah, and this will be good. Like once the project is complete, we can see that balance, and if it's still outstanding, we can be tracking as it's being spent down, and we'll get to a point where we'll be able to say, okay, we've got X amount of dollars. Do we want to put that back into the, you know, how do we want to put that back into the pot for consideration for other projects? So,
can I ask one follow-on?
Yeah.
So in this page, again, back to the cover page, yeah. For example, I'm just looking for the nonprofits, which I need to find. The nonprofits here it says pending, but do we have a more? We know right now we know how many were approved and what the value of those approvals were, right? Of the nonprofit,
we have 50 awarded nonprofits,
and we know the value of those 50
yep.
awards. So I think also in a situation like that. Where we have more data on a pending, we should capture that too. That
I could do it as maybe an arrow or a drop down, like a drill down on the. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what works best for the committee because it's I could also add it as another, just a separate sheet for like a supplemental information.
Okay. I mean, and the reason I ask is that I think it's not necessarily the case that the pending, that those projects that are pending, a la the sewer and water, are going to exactly match what was approved. So it may, I don't yet know, the nonprofit, the I'm sure the numbers exist somewhere, the 50 that were approved might exactly add up to what we approved,
actually,
but it might not. Right, right. So
exact.
That would be, it would be helpful for us
okay.
to see that, to see,
yes,
okay,
absolutely.
What was approved and is pending is 1.47 of the 1.5 or
when
whatever.
When we went through the process of nonprofits, we took the grand total and basically broke it out into the all the nonprofits. So I think there was very little left, you know, $100 or something. I can't remember, but it was a very small amount. Do you remember that process where we basically
backed
out the numbers and we kept looking, at them and saying, oh, we can add a little to this one. We've got a little bit left here. And so we tried to get up to the total allocated amount so that it was, I don't think there was anything left. But I totally agree with
you.
I think that we should, and we should figure out a way to, once a project is complete and there is some sort of surplus, that should actually go back onto our tracker here,
mm-hmm.
looking at what's our total now. So that, mm-hmm. so we can add a line to this that says, like, I don't know, what's it called? Moved from, you know,
return
or whatever,
right.
Yeah, whatever we want to call
yeah.
it. We can put it in there so that we're looking at that balance increasing a bit. You know?
Yeah, and I think another thing we're going to need to be watching as we're looking toward the, you know, the end dates, the required end dates, are there may be projects, not naming anything in particular right now, that have been approved that are unable to be executed for any number of reasons, that as we're reaching certain markers that we will have to reevaluate. Not things that aren't in a pending mode where there's just money left over, but things that for whatever, we've approved one project, for example, that's contingent upon other approvals.
Right.
And if the other approvals don't happen, then that money would come back,
exactly.
right? So, but we have to make a decision.
Exactly.
We have time for that. But the other thing I just want to say, and I know that Legislator Petit just joined us and has been asking for detail, like there's a tremendous amount of detail here. So
mm-hmm.
what would be great is if we could collate all this into something like an end of the year report
mm-hmm.
or an end of the year report distributed at the beginning of the year
yeah.
and circulated to all legislators
great.
From the committee.
Absolutely.
Just so that because I know it's hard with everyone having so many other engagements to work in their own committee to go into the OneDrive to look at another committee's work and try to make sense of it. So if we make it
yeah.
easy for people and just circulate it as a
I don't think
piece
that would
of information.
Be hard to pull together because
yeah,
we've already got Nate's work, we've got the work that Amber was doing, so I think that we can pull it together and
yeah.
make it pretty easy. So
thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Nate. This
no problem. Can I just add one other?
Sure, absolutely.
Please, I did want to point out with the nonprofit grant, I know it's not the amount of information requested, but if you go into the progress tracker and look at that area, there is the 48 out of 50 contracts approved by county attorney, and then insurance is complete. So I just tried to give an update of, this is about a week ago, but where we are with processing the number of contracts and getting to disbursement.
Yeah, it's interesting too with, we're going to talk about water and sewer tonight, but this idea of how and when and if we open that back up to communities, you know, because we're looking at a certain, you know, unspent amount at this point of $400,000 or something like that. So we'll have to make some decisions about, you know, when will that go public again? Do we want to look at projects that were already submitted and see if we can get them up to the speed that they would need to be to get this funding, or what's the most equitable way to do it, I guess is what I'm asking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd love to hear thoughts on that, because I think it should go toward what we originally intended it to go toward rather than shifting it to another project.
Because
I don't consider that complete. Projects that are complete, I think we can take the money and put it into that return pot and then allocate that for something else. But this, I think we need to spend on where it's going. Yes, Chair Barnes.
Yep. I mean, my thoughts would be if you did anything other than that, that it would be, you'd need to open it up to everyone anew, mm-hmm. which would make it competitive to everyone anew, and would mean that some of the municipalities that got the first grant might, competitively speaking, get the second. So,
right.
I think it makes sense to open it up to the municipalities that didn't apply, or for some reason their applications were deficient, to reach out to them and see if they have projects that,
I like that.
Would quanta qualify.
Other thoughts on that?
Yeah, one of the nonprofits in the Shandaken mentioned to me that they got less than 10,000, and I think they were applying for 25,000, and they felt it was a real hardship for them to have, you know, a little bit, you know, towards what they had worked hard. So I was actually thinking the other direction for ease of administration, to go back and look at those that were given awards but maybe were less than what they had requested. You know, opening it back up, it was
this
a big
the water,
process.
It was the water and sewer, though. Like,
oh, just the water and sewer, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Were you talking about the nonprofit?
I was talking about the nonprofit, sorry.
Right.
Yeah. So the water sewer, I think, is different. I think everyone got what they asked for. Or didn't get anything.
Right. Nate, did you want to add something?
Just thoughts.
Smaller numbers.
So on water, sewer, and Ashley's leading that portion of ARPA, so feel free to jump in. But we did provide the report. There are the parameters of the existing grant, and so I just wanted to bring up that I think between us, and we had a meeting as well with Assistant County Executive, I think is the right title at this point, Chris Kelly, this morning, and we have no problem with opening up remaining funds. I think our thoughts, just to share, were that it would be according to the parameters of the grant as they have existed, which was one award per municipality. It was 33% of the amount of the project, no more than $250,000. And I think I got that all right?
500.
Several
got
500. Thank you. So there would be, you know, $400,000 would be opened up for those municipalities who don't have an award.
And this is also a moment that we could talk about Laura's proposal to add more money to this mix, potentially. We could look at it and say, maybe we want to take that $400,000 and add something to that to make it, because most of these awards are $500,000, so if we only have $4,000 left, how is that going to support a major water or sewer infrastructure project? So anyway, I just want to open that thought up, so I'm not sure what you're
talking about. My question to that end, one, I think it's a worthy debate based on the amount of money that's left. But I also, prior to making a decision, I would want to have the conversation with the municipalities that would be eligible, which are those that haven't been awarded anything yet, mm-hmm. and get a sense of how many would be ready to apply with eligible projects. My understanding is there was at least one project that applied that wasn't eligible, just wasn't eligible. And then there was one project that applied that was a second for a community, so that made that project ineligible. But beyond that, for the communities that didn't apply, which there are several, so it's like, why would they plan on applying? Do they have projects? Like, I think we can do that outreach to find out before.
I like what you're saying. Why allocate the money before there's a need for it? So
just
like
to get
that. And also, I think we need to continue the conversation of what are the priorities for the rest of this limited mm-hmm. funding. So I think those two things can happen at the same time. But I agree with you. Is that work that your team can do? Is to reach out to municipalities that, I mean, you can't know what you don't know. Also,
sure.
You know, if a municipality didn't, how are you going to just sort of open that conversation? I guess you can just contact people and say, do you have a water and sewer project you're interested in doing? And,
well, just as a thought, I mean,
right?
we definitely, we have a information currently, and there may be things we've missed, we certainly, but figuring out how to source it for anything that may still be remaining is a great question. You know, I think just last go around, that's one reason why we tried to do the pre-development application, which was helpful to a point. You know, there's only, what's nice is there's a limited pool at this point, so I think we conversation may work where we just say, you know, it's coming up.
It may be coming up.
Maybe coming up. You know, right, thank you. It's not
do you want it to come up?
Right. You know, I just got to think a little bit about how that conversation goes.
Yeah.
And we have to be fair, you know, of course. So sometimes direct contact has, you know, you just have to be careful. But we'd like to know.
Yeah. I do want to say, you know, I think we don't take a lot of time to congratulate ourselves on the work that we've done in this committee. And I think just looking at this list of all the folks that we've awarded to really important sewer and water projects, yay us, you know, that's really money well spent. And so I think that's a great thing. So I think we should continue that kind of thinking as we move through the rest of this money. Yes, Chair.
On a different subject, I just wanted to ask on the trails project, on the OSI trails project, so the funding was approved and the contracts were signed, and it says that the Wallkill Rail was started.
Yep.
Seems pretty close to complete to me. I don't know what else they have to do. So,
yep.
Has no money exchanged hands yet? They're working underway without receiving a dollar?
Correct.
Yeah. Wow.
That is absolutely true.
Reimbursement grant, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I talked to Peter Karras with OSI this week. He is promising a large release of files to us, and we are looking forward to it because they have been doing good work, and it's all according to contract.
Great. All right.
Since we've sort of opened this door, are there any other projects that are in a weird stall mode, or is there anything that you see that we need to be aware of right now?
I'm just actually looking at the list because it helps trigger. All of them have their own positives, kinks, however you want to term it. A lot of them are moving for sure. Some are just getting started, and I'm looking at legal services of the Hudson Valley, but that's okay. Others, like, and I'm thinking and this is kind of as updates, but I'm thinking of, you know, things that are basically down our pipeline a little bit, and what comes to mind is parks and main streets. There's nobody's forgotten them, but there's just between economic development and ourselves, I think we're at capacity, but we're
mm-hmm.
still very eager for that, and
mm-hmm.
I think we will definitely get to it. So that's.
Is there an update on the land trust?
Land bank,
yeah. Sorry.
Can I just ask one question on
yes,
that?
Yes, please,
and then
of course.
So. I just want to flag parks and main streets, particularly parks, as one that I think we need to be really mindful of a timeline, because in order, the ideal would have been that we had a proposal together in advance of a budget cycle for the towns, because in order to avail themselves of these funds to the most capacity, you know, towns run on, everyone runs on a tight budget, but I really feel like smaller municipalities run on very tight budgets, and so they would need to know that this money exists, have a discussion, debate, and budget for the, you know, for the match or for the in-kind match, but they really need to think about it along a budget cycle. So given that we've missed this budget cycle, I think we need to be well ahead of the next.
Well, aren't they all on different budget cycles?
Mm-hmm. Not
City
really.
Mostly
on
the same.
On they're mostly
October,
on the same.
November,
no,
yeah.
They're mostly on the same. October,
November.
November.
Okay.
Yeah.
City of Kingston's on a different budget cycle than
City of Kingston.
So, yeah, the towns I think are pretty close to our budget cycle,
okay.
And again, thinking of our time limits, we need to be well enough ahead of getting approvals in line for their next budget cycle,
yeah.
Which is. It's going to come up faster with all this work,
yeah,
that's happening.
Absolutely.
So
we need a little PR campaign.
Yeah. So
I
just, yeah, I think it's important that we find it because it's time sensitive. On land bank, so I'm expecting the application to go out now for real as soon as next week. Tim Wiedemann made amendments. Dennis Doyle made amendments, which I'm very grateful for both of their inputs. And given that it's this far without going out, I really wanted to have conversations with the executive-elect who currently sits on the board. There's no prohibition to sitting on the board while you're executive, although we expect that that position will be replaced. But I certainly wanted to be, I knew that I had the support of the executive-elect, given that I spoke to her about it in the context of her serving on the board. But I think we're in an extra great place with an application now that she is the executive-elect in terms of helping us to lobby for it. So I just wanted to make sure we got to that point and expect that, again, I'm giving myself a timeline of hopefully next week.
I was just going to ask, once it's submitted, is there any idea?
It's pretty, it's faster than you would think. Okay. I mean, given that it's the end of the year, it might be a little longer, but it's initially, I was told 6 weeks to two and a half months. Yeah, so it's like,
January.
Yeah. I mean, I would more expect, given the holiday,
yeah.
February or March. But okay. You know, hopefully there'll be a robust engagement from our end in encouraging the application.
Right. Okay, that's good. I want to loop back to one thing that we talked about. So this idea of projects that have closed that do have an excess. And then getting that into the tracker that Amber was doing. So how's that? Is it going to work with you now, Fawn, or Amber's going to do it. So could you connect with Amber about, and I'll talk to her also about the conversation. We'll add the line in here, and I just want to make sure that if there is anything now that is currently movable in terms of return funds, we should mark that down.
Okay.
Yeah. Can I share a thought on along those lines?
Sure.
At last ARPA committee meeting, there was a question about $500,000, which I have not. You may recall this, and forgive me, I don't have the specific tracker. It may have been removed at this point, but that was those were not ARPA funds, and it could be confusing. I did speak with the Commissioner of Finance on this. Because there was, I believe, more than one PO on it. It was originally slated to be ARPA, but then money was available, I believe, from disaster relief. And
okay.
So ultimately the money funded was disaster relief.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to remember this conversation.
You brought that up.
I asked how much they were actually going to reimburse.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, it was the pod.
My questions.
It was the pod question, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we don't have $500,000.
Well, if it's being, it was never ARPA funds.
So
if it was calculated or if it was tracked, and there was any sort of just misunderstanding that it was ARPA funds, then you might see a positive.
But that number was never in the original 34. Like the $34 million that we've been slowly tracking down, right?
I can, if you want, we could
let's drill down.
Talk to you on this
one. Yeah, let's drill down.
I should look at the most current.
Okay,
tracker, yeah.
That'd be great.
Legislator Levine, do you have a
question? Oh no, I'm good. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Do we feel okay about ending this portion of the conversation here? Any more questions for Nate? And again, thank you for updating us on the projects. I'm really interested, especially if there's anything that is a stall or is a problem that we need to know about that we can intervene in any way. That would be really helpful to know.
Can I just give an update? I don't know if this is the appropriate time, but on one of the projects we've talked about,
sure,
but that
absolutely
hasn't moved forward as a resolution yet, and that's the kitchens.
Oh yeah.
I was really fortunate to go with the ARPA team to see the kitchen in Kingston, the organization. Now I'm having
Ulster County Community Action.
Ulster County Community Action. Thank you. So, and a proposal that they have to be one of the community kitchens we're talking about. Remember, I feel pretty committed to there needing to be one kitchen kitchen in the Kingston area, but one in the southern end of the county. You know, it, first of all, it's amazing all the work that they do. It's pretty incredible. And I was really I was happy to see it. I think that you know, it opened my eyes to a lot of things about the kitchen. The budget that's currently proposed, I feel, is a little high for essentially a kitchen renovation, and we can go and drill down into that. And I spoke to the deputy county executive and to Nate as well about it. You know, I think that we want to, and this doesn't preclude that, but I think we want to really be strategic about where we're placing these kitchens in terms of the accessibility. And you know, there may be different you know, protocols in thinking that through in the Kingston area versus the southern end of the county, because the southern end of the county tends to be more rural, potentially outside of Ellenville. But in Kingston, there's certainly a benefit to having some level of walk-up access for some of what the kitchen might do. But again, what I really most appreciated about meeting them and seeing the space is hearing the alignment of the vision, of the multi-layers of the vision, the idea of a kitchen that would provide both education in terms of cooking and healthy eating, that would provide food access to those in need, and that would be a business incubator, which is the most complicated aspect of it, I'd say, because while the kitchen would be approved by the health department, the different businesses need a certain level of health department approval. It's not like, oh, the kitchen's approved, so Megan and I can just go in and make jam and we're all good. Like, we need to have a certain level of approval. But I don't think it's insurmountable. So I just wanted the committee to know that it's not, budgets has sort of gotten in the way, but it's not something that I've forgotten, and it's something that I actually think if we can figure out a way to fund, which may be community action, maybe community action at that site, maybe community action as an operator at a different site. And we certainly need to bring Cornell into the conversation as well, extension, I mean. But if we're able to execute this, I do think it will have long-term, multi-layered impact to our constituents. I mean, it's hard to think of a project that operates on so many different levels at once, that hits so many different types of markers. You know, food truck businesses and micro entrepreneurs and those with food instability and those who maybe have never learned to cook. You know, a family meal. So. It's I'm very excited about it, and I just wanted you to know I hadn't forgotten, and there had been some movement.
That's great.
But we'll be back probably at the start of the new year.
It's been on our list, and it's been, you know, consistently, I think there's a commitment from this committee to make that happen, so thank you for that. My one concern, not concern, but it's very high level what you're talking about with this one, and I want to make sure whatever other one we do has the same kind of high level. So if we could get that same provider to do it, that would be amazing, or else at least have some sort of standards where they're both at the same level. So
if I can just, and before I ask the question, you know, there's also a county, I need to look into it. I want to say it's Greene County that has a model that did it as a county, as a county project with the county as an operator. I'm not saying that's not, to me, that's probably not the ideal model, but I'm going to try to do a little legwork as soon as we get out of budget as well, because I have some experience in this, and the last kitchen that I outfitted was so much more cost effective than what was being proposed right now. Now, a lot has changed in terms of the costs of things, not the least of which is labor, but what we're talking about doing in that proposal is to fund a private entity doing the work. So it shouldn't be so radical, but I think that the takeaway too with community action, which would be verified, is that they haven't really done it before either. So you know, a consultant drew up the budget, mm-hmm. and the budget has just certain high-level things that if you were in the private sector, you'd take a red line or you'd highlight, like, with three or 15 question marks, like, what?
Yeah.
So I think I feel very optimistic that we'll be, I think that the model for one, it almost would be identical for the model for the other. It's just
that's
a question
great.
Of what the space,
and
like,
is that
what the space
written
is.
Down anywhere? Sort of like, here's the model, here's the ideal that we're looking for.
Well, yes,
there's
yes.
a budget that's written out.
Yeah, they've written down a model, and
okay.
we could look to that. And it captures a lot of what we've been talking about. Like, I think they've probably taken to heart through work with the ARPA,
yeah.
Division.
Right.
A lot of what this committee's been talking about.
Right,
so
right, right.
It's definitely a good start. And, you know, I think when we started this conversation, I thought that there would be more very clear models out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying we're totally trailblazing, but when we succeed at this, I think we would be a model for many other places with the kind of thing we're talking about that came up at this table and morphed at this table. Because it's not quite so readily available, and the ARPA team can verify that there are aspects of it where it's like, oh yeah, that's like the one in Poughkeepsie, oh, but that one's like the one over here, that one, you know, different things are being done, but to have it all in one place,
yeah.
is the real change.
Great.
That's so
awesome.
Yeah.
Legislator Levine, and then I saw Legislator
Chief. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Just a question for Chair Bartels, and relation to, do we have, I know I think we asked this question the last meeting, in regards to, do we have any update whatsoever on just on any movement on the southern location for this for the community kitchen?
The short answer is no, not officially. I can tell you that I spoke to the Ag Society, because to me one possible logical place would be at the fairgrounds. Because it's county owned, it's, you know,
is
I
that,
think
I'm sorry, just, you think that would that qualify really for, you know, for what people consider the southern part of the county?
You know, being from the southern part of the county, yes, much more so than Kingston, but no, I mean, it's not Shangum, but it's easy to get to from Shangum. Where it's a challenge maybe a little bit is for Ellenville. And Ellenville, two different locations have been discussed. I think at this moment in time, it would be wise for us to probably start, you know, investigating real estate options in these places, given that the real estate market for commercial space is still not at, you know, the kind of spike that we saw with residential, and now with the borrowing rates what they are, it's probably even a little more depressed. So I think it's always worthwhile for us to look at it, but I also think we need to do the due diligence of looking at county owned properties as well, which is why I talked to the Ag Society about the fairgrounds, because there's also some natural connectivity with ag and whatnot. Now, the challenge with the fairgrounds from their perspective is that there's a certain number of days, particularly in the summer, where it's a non-starter, where nothing on that property could be used. So that's something we'd have to think about as well. But it also is a very big piece of county property. A kitchen, generally speaking, is a very small space. I mean, a commercial kitchen the size of this room is huge. I could tell you of restaurants that you eat at that you're blown away by the food, and their kitchens are, I'm not going to name them, are the size of large bathrooms, you know, where like three people are hitting into each other. You just don't see it from the other side, from the table. So this is a giant commercial kitchen space.
You know, the other thing that we had talked about a couple times was somehow we got two stuck in our heads. We could potentially do three. We could do one in Ellenville,
mm-hmm.
we could do one at the fairground, and one up in Kingston. And then that would be a triangle that a lot of people would have access to. And if you're saying that the pricing is different from what you're seeing, that could actually fit into, you know, in, mm-hmm. especially if we're going to have some money coming back to us. So I think we should keep three as a possibility for
I think that's a great idea.
Just quick follow-up.
Yes, sir.
My question then would be in regards to if this Kingston location is, you know, further along in the process of that we think it's pretty close to being ready to go and we can get a resolution, that, like, my question would be, does the committee think it might be prudent to potentially break these up, you know, in terms of not waiting for, you know, the southern part of the county to get the, you know, the proposal off the ground? But if we have the one in Kingston, that's, you know, we think we can get it off the ground.
I don't see any reason why not. I mean,
I think breaking them up is fine, or taking approach of approving, you know, a reasonable estimate of funds and then moving through the three like we've done on so many of these other things where we're, you know, we've approved X amount of funding and the checklist says as we're moving through. I would say that the Kingston project, in my estimation, is not yet ready to go. Yes, there's a budget and there's a space, but I think we need to do some more work on that. And like I said, the budget's very high.
I'm gonna kind of move that we start really thinking about three.
Okay.
Start thinking about budget for three rather than two, and sort of look at numbers maybe at the next meeting or between meetings or something. So maybe that's something we can do together.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to agree, and I was going to suggest that, because that is the shape of our county.
Right.
And when we talk southern, sometimes Ellenville gets neglected,
mm-hmm.
and there's no reason for that. But my one concern about the Ag Society is that it's not very accessible. The Kingston site, I assume, is.
Mm-hmm. I would say no. Not after seeing it, I would say no. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's over, like,
it's
in
a very
the
weird.
It's in the really
it's on Lindsley,
weird.
Right?
It's in a really
it's on
weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, on Lindsley.
I just want us to think about accessibility. When we have the fair this year, they actually created a UCAT route.
Mm-hmm.
But excuse me. How people are going to access the facility, I think, has to factor in.
Mm-hmm.
I have one other thing I wanted to raise, but under old business.
Sure. You know what? Let me. Can we put that towards the end? I do want to get to just a conversation about the resolution, because that's on our agenda. So can I move us into that direction right now? Everyone fine with that? Okay, great. So do I have a motion for discussion for resolution? 541.
Motion to discuss 541.
And a second, please.
Seconded.
And Fawn has taught me now that I don't actually have to get a vote on that, which I've been doing the entire time. So sorry about that, putting that little extra work in. But so
minutes,
yeah, you know, just confirming it, right? Confirming. All right. So, Legislator Petit, if you could give us a little update. What I'd like to know about this is.
It's the water and sewer.
So I know that there is an amendment that you put forward. Can you tell us how that would be somehow connected to this resolution or not connected to this resolution, and sort of where things stand with this resolution for you? thanks.
Yeah, and honestly, I wanted to touch all bases. I got back from a housing meeting today with Pattern for Progress, and they've kicked off something called the IHOP Task Force, which is communities getting together to make recommendations. The one that kept coming up consistently was, you know, the carrot and the stick funding projects in order to facilitate housing, which included water and sewer and sidewalks and transportation, etc. I do understand that, you know, $500,000 would only be enough maybe for two or three projects, considering I think the average was $368,000. And I had also submitted one as a budget modification. That one I pulled last night.
Oh, you did pull it, okay.
Yeah.
It was a long night.
It was a very long night, yeah, so maybe I'm just like, okay. And but then we also have affordable housing in the capital budget. I just hate to lose the opportunity to infuse infrastructure funding to promote affordable housing. So that's where I am with it. I want to get it from some source.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm going to sink my teeth in and put the blinders on wherever I think I can get it. But I don't know how agreeable the board was last time. I mean, you were open,
right,
of course, and receptive. But
one of the things that came up, which I wanted to remind everybody, was something Comptroller Gallagher said, which really kind of sparked for me, was this idea of looking at existing properties that were affordable housing properties that needed water and sewer work, that maybe we could somehow modify this resolution or shift this resolution in some way that specifically looked at existing properties that needed upgrades. I just thought that was a really smart way to look at what's the next thing, rather than adding money to a project that we've already announced, we've already got, you know, proposals for. We're gonna go back again and do another second round probably. I'm wondering if we can really just sort of switch gears and look at our most vulnerable populations and how we can use this type of money for infrastructure in a situation like that.
Okay. So. And did you want to?
There's a few like trailer parks and planned communities. I don't have a list off the top of my head. I really have to talk to the folks in planning, but who have like serious septic and water problems.
West Hurley's one of them.
Yeah.
Is there a way that could you could get us something?
Yeah, we can look at that and see if we can shed some more light on that.
Yeah, and some sort of numbers around it would
particularly
be really
trailer
helpful.
Parks. I know there's a number of trailer parks that lack services and
right.
Two things. One, this resolution is for a second round of funding for the municipalities that were not funded, right?
Right.
So I think we need to, you know, it's like, what do we do first? Probably back to the earlier of like reaching out and seeing how much interest there is. And that, I think, would then inform potentially how much funding we talk about.
Right.
We have the conversation about that's what I'd say. The other thing the water and sewer for incentivizing or helping to spur affordable housing. One, I think it is a part of any any housing initiative that we're talking about. It would be one of the allowable expenditures in some of what Deputy Majority Leader Uchitel has been talking about. Like, it's similar to what we said last night. Like, I don't think we have to be so exclusive as to, like, it is one tool in the toolbox. I do want to warn that I want to be careful about, because I've had conversations with both people in planning and the private sector who have brought up examples to me of projects saying, oh, there are these projects all across the county that that are not happening because of the challenges related to water and sewer.
Mm-hmm.
And two, a case in every example that was given to me, I didn't know every example, but every example that I knew when they brought up the project, they were talking about market rate projects, which is like, that's not what we're here to discuss.
Right.
Like, I know that exists in my community. In my community, there are projects that are challenged.
Right.
We're talking about million-dollar homes and, expensive market rate plus units. That's I know that I'm speaking to the choir here, but I'm just saying, I think we have to be careful when we talk about that we're strictly talking about helping to spur and incentivize affordable, I use it loosely, like whatever the definition we're going to want to use, affordable and workforce. And the reason I say that is there are people, even people in our body, who feel that the answer to affordable housing is more market rate housing. Because if there's enough market rate housing, then the numbers are going to go down. But we all live in different communities, and our communities have different challenges and different designs on what they want their communities to look like. There are I grew up in the suburbs of New Jersey, which was a great place to be a kid. House, 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 3/4 acres. Like, I guarantee you that my community whether they're $1 million or $50,000 houses, does not want half acre zoning for the whole entire town and to bump up our, you know. And at one point, not so long ago, my community, which is whatever, 5,000 people, it, through the course of three projects in various stages of proposal, what there were 1,500 new units, homes and apartments in various stages of discussion, which could easily double the population of my town. Now, it didn't happen. They fell by the wayside, market things. But still, we just have to be really clear of what we're talking about.
I think also there's a distinction between what you're saying. You're talking about new build. And what I'm talking about, and what I think Comptroller Gallagher is talking about, is already existing. So I think that would eliminate the problem right off the bat, to say that this money's not going to new build, it's actually going to existing housing that is riddled with problems, that we can fix these problems with some of this money. So I think that would take care of some of that.
But how does that fix the problem of getting more affordable units?
It preserves affordable units.
Yeah, that's what I think.
It presumes that they're affordable, though. If they're not deemed affordable,
it has to be a test. They're going to have to look at those, but I would say 99% of every trailer in the county is considered affordable. It's going to fall into that category.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
So far.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know about that.
I just want to be conscious of time because we do have ways and means. But what I want to do is I want to try and summarize what we talked about now. So we are going to, this is all around water and sewer. So we've got a whole tapestry going here. So we're going to look into the possibility of real. We're going to examine whether there is the need for other municipalities from the municipalities to see if there's the need for water and sewer money. We're going to reach out to them. I guess Nate, you're going to figure out how to do that. You're going to reach out, figure out what's there. And I think in doing that, that will give us a sense of what kind of money we need. Because if we come up with 5 or 6 potential projects, that's going to be more than $400,000 for sure. So that will be sort of a first step, I think. Comptroller Gallagher, I think you're going to put together some information for us about possibilities.
I'll try.
Thank you.
Try.
In all your free time. just even a sense of it. So
yeah,
we can get an idea of where that might go. And then I think we have to also attach some dollar amounts to what we're talking about in terms of infrastructure repairs, that type of thing. And is there a third piece to it? Laura, what was the third piece now? The third piece
could be open it up to other infrastructure.
Right.
Transportation, sidewalks.
Right. So I think what we have to do with this resolution for tonight is take no action on it because we're not there yet. And then try and get these pieces together to see if we're going to increase funding, if we're going to try and use this funding for the original intent, which was the water and sewer projects, or not. Does that sound right? Okay. Did I miss anything there? Okay. We got a bit of a puzzle going on with this, but does that satisfy you, Chair?
Yes, thank you very much.
All right. Do we have to do anything else then? Taking no action there. All right. I think we've actually taken.
I think we need to vote to take no.
You can take no action. You don't have to vote.
Okay, great. And then I'm just looking at sort of other things on my agenda, and we've already touched on the tracker. We've already touched on the water and sewer. So unless anybody has any old business or any new business. Oh, you did. Sorry, legislative green. Yeah, sorry.
The project, and thank you for, and thank especially Director Dennis Doyle for the work that he did on the low moderate income energy retrofits. And last night we were talking about whether or not ARPA should continue. And it seems to me that we're in the process of shifting from a planning, budgeting, casting a wide net, getting projects and getting them approved to implementation. What I would like to understand is, I know, for example, that Communities for Local Power has met with REPCO, but from the ARPA implementation, Mm-hmm. You know, who's in charge of that? And and am I correct that you are moving from planning and budgeting projects to overseeing implementation?
So Legislator Green, I think what I'm going to suggest, and Nate, you can chime in, is that we're going to put you on the agenda moving forward, and that you'll be able to give us updates on the projects, kind of like what you did tonight, but do it in a more formal way,
so that
you can give us, you know, kind of a lowdown. We go through all the projects that and find out where things are at with them. We can also talk about the money at that point, too. Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, great. That sounds good. And will that satisfy what you're looking for?
I still would like a name.
Okay, yep.
Of who, for that particular project, because I want to be sure all the people that are starting to talk to each other are in communication with each other.
Is that something that you can just reach out to and talk to each other about, that just to make sure that Nate has all the names that are that he needs for that project?
Yep.
That'd be great.
That's not a problem.
Excellent. Thank you.
I had one other thing just to remind the committee that there will be Inflation Reduction and infrastructure money coming, so that's not ARPA per se, but for loose ends. You know, that this is not the end of federal funding coming through the state to the municipalities.
That's a good reminder. Does anybody have any other old business, new business? Thank you for your focused attention. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I will make a motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. Our next meeting is, we're not having one. I don't think we have one in December.
Yeah, we don't have one scheduled, and we don't, in January, usually we don't have one.
I'll reach out to the committee and let you all know. So thank you, committee. We had a really good year.
Thank you.
Good work.
Good work, everyone.
That's it? You're not meeting 8 times next month?
What's that?
You're not meeting 8 times next month?
Oh, yeah.
Good question.
Too much eggnog.
Boy, they, from the pace that they had at the beginning of the year,